resting in your comfort and your peace. Father, we live in troubled times, but it's not the first time. And you are the God that we need to run to, the only true living God who has given us a Savior, your Son, so that his sacrifice for our sins could bring us into fellowship with you. And Father, with a fellowship, with a relationship with the Creator of heaven and earth, the Creator and Sustainer of all things, why would we fear? Forgive us for being afraid sometimes. And it could be that fear is driven out of a sense that we are not in control. And see, Father, we've never been in control. And we need to understand that you are always over all, sovereign. And it may be, it just may be, that there has never been, or maybe it's been a long time since there's been such a call that you've extended to your people to just simply be the people of God, standing firm in our hope, our confidence, thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, and may we learn more about that as we study your word this morning. And Father, even though there may not be peace in the land, and we do pray for that, it is critically important that there be peace in the heart of every believer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, and I hope it comes as no surprise, we're going to talk about God is good. How often? All the time. Okay? And as I was praying and searching the scripture, literally, I didn't really know where the Lord wanted to take me, and I landed here on the 100th Psalm. So if you want to, go ahead and turn to that. We'll read it here in just a moment. And as I have said many times, probably the one person in the assembly this morning that needs to hear this is me. And that's important, that I hear the Word of God, that it speaks to me. And I needed to hear this. I needed to hear that I needed this message from God. I believe God wants to remind us of who He is. Of who He is. Folks, we sometimes forget who He is. And when we understand who He is and all that He has done and all that He desires to do, we are going to celebrate no matter what the circumstances. That's called being thankful. So let's stand as we read this short psalm consisting of five verses filled with hope and power. Psalm 100, and if you have those little subtitles before the chapter, mine says, His steadfast love endures forever. Beginning in verse 1 of the 100th psalm. A psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. Don't miss that. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. Let's all say that. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Now that is all the time. Father, we pray that you would be blessed by the reading of your word, that you would be honored, and that we would receive the blessings that this word is intended to give, the blessings of encouragement and hope and endurance, confidence. And Father, through all of that, you receive the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I had talked to Glenn about, Glenn, I don't know if you have that chorus or not. If you want to, you can put that up there. I intended on having it earlier. Boy, I tell you, we've challenged Glenn back there this morning, and he's been on it. Isn't that powerful? Now, I'm not going into the whole history of who wrote that song and when and why it was written. But I guarantee you, it was in one of the most catastrophic moments of the author's life that you could ever imagine. A moment filled with overwhelming grief and sorrow, and yet he wrote those words. It is well. It is well with my soul. Folks, that's where the Christian community needs to live. Right there. It is well with my soul. Thank you, Glenn. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joy grows dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay and all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me. Henry Francis Light. And I would like you to know that the very last words that passed over his lips as he drew his last breath and stepped into glory were peace, joy. Being thankful is more than an expression, folks. It's a way of life. It's a way of living. And I would say, in light of Henry Francis Light's testimony, it's also a way of dying. Thankfulness. So what can we learn about living out a thankful life from Psalm 100 and celebrating the life that God has given us? Well, point number one that we will take a look at is God is the song, we are the singers. Now, I had a lot of fun with this, and I tell you, I had to limit my thoughts as I was writing this outline out. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. We can sing hymns of praise and worship to the Lord because he is the music. He is the song that's in our hearts. It is him who gives us that joy and that peace. And as I pondered that, I was sitting at my desk, and I tell you what, I don't know. Well, I know God has used secular things throughout time and history to accomplish his will. The Lord laid a song on my heart. He literally laid a song on my heart. And I thought, what a contrast. A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make these people dance and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver. With every paper I deliver, bad news on the doorstep, I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride. Something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, "This will be the day that I die. This will be the day that I die." It's a very long song, so I will stop there. But folks, I tell you, I went back to that song and I ran the whole thing off and I looked through all the verses and all the despair and all the hopelessness and all of the tragedy and all the things that Don McLean, right? Don McLean was putting down for the lyrics of this song. And it's all because the music died. Now let's think of the contrast. We have a song that will never die. We have a song that's in our heart because it's the very presence of God Himself. And that music will never die. And those lyrics will never fade. And there'll never be a moment of hopelessness where we sit on a dry levee drinking whiskey and rye, concluding that this will be the day that I die. Not for the believer. Not for the believer. I don't know if you've ever read that song. I'll let you choose to research it if you like, but there are some very interesting statements in that song that show a very clear background of some Christian teaching. So early on the morning hours of February 3rd, well, we have trouble with days and months up here this morning. 1959, Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and J.P. the Big Bopper Richardson perished in a plane crash. And folks, that was a tragedy at any loss of life. It was a tragedy. But God's song continues. His music endures. His song, His music will never die. He is the song of hope. He is the song of comfort and peace. He is the song of our salvation. Psalm 118:14 says, "The Lord is my strength and my song." There it is. Do you see that? We tend to think of the song as something we have to give. It's His gift to us. The song is God Himself. Can you embrace that? Can you embrace it? He is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. And by the way, that verse has its origin in Exodus 15:2 and is repeated in Isaiah 12:2. There's something significant about that verse, and we need to understand it. He is the song of our salvation, and we need to sing it from the hilltops as well as the valleys. God puts His song in our hearts where the Holy Spirit takes up residence. Tune in to the Lord. Harmonize with Him. Please let Him sing lead. Okay? God's song will continue throughout all eternity. Second point, God is the Creator. We are His creation. See, this is not a complicated message. If it were very complicated, I wouldn't have come up with it. Well, I'll give God the glory for that. Ooh. Verse 3a, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His." Folks, that's profound. That's profound. As a body of believers, and I am speaking primarily to the church now, those who have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, made their profession of faith in His saving power and His power alone, I'm speaking primarily to you, but you belong to God. I belong to God. He bought me, the scripture says. He literally bought me and paid for me with the blood of His Son. I am His. Now, that alone has to bring a sense of comfort to us. I just got hit with one of those moments. I remember walking in, Lord help me, to the funeral home to view my son. I remember grabbing my dad. I wanted my dad. I wanted him with me. And we held on to each other. Folks, that's our relationship with God. That's our relationship with God. We got to hang on. We got to grab hold of him in times like this. There should be only one person that we want by our side, most of all, with all the other support we get. But we need our Father. We need our Heavenly Father to hold us because we can't bear up without him. Boy, why does God hit you with those images? Yeah. I just wanted my dad. I wanted my dad. We are his. God created us in his own image. Genesis 1 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. And I'm not even going to go off on the new gender neutrality. Although I would say this. With all of the gender neutral hype and stuff that's going on out there, I have decided that we can no longer sing a hymn. Unless we sing a her. So now instead of a hymn, we sing a person. I'm sorry. I promised you I wouldn't go off on that, and I did. I succumbed to that temptation. We are created. Folks, I want us to understand this. I'm going to move through this a little more rapidly. I am behind. We are created in his image. We are also created for his pleasure, not ours. We're created for his pleasure. And you were dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we might walk in them. We were created for his pleasure, not ours. We were created for his glory. And these are sub-points, if you'd like to write these down. Isaiah 43, 6 and 7, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We were created in his image. We were created for his pleasure. We were created for his glory. We are created to worship him. We were created to worship him. And you see, even the world apart from Christ worships something. Mostly themselves, but actually Ephesians passage tells us we did that too before we come to Christ. But the hour is coming, Jesus said, and it's now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Lastly, we were created to be a community. We were created to be a community, and we're going to talk a little bit more about it in our next point. Acts 2, verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and all had things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings, distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in the homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And look at a result of unity in the community. Unity in the community. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And folks, that's what God is calling us back to. We cannot expect to be a positive influence, a reconciling influence, an influence of peace and joy and comfort and hope if we don't have it all together in here. We can't spread it if we aren't living it. So thus my title, quit giving God lip service and let's start giving him life service. Let's be the church. In these troubled times, let's be the people of God. And next point, let's be his sheep. God is the shepherd. We are his sheep. And don't turn that around. God is the shepherd. We are his sheep. We are his people, verse 3 of Psalm 100, and the sheep of his pasture. And the verse that immediately comes to mind, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. God is good. Amen. All the time. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me just as the Father knows me and I know the Father and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I'm going to call us to jog our memory for just a moment. I did not have this put on the screen. But I want us to recite together the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. That's a long time. That's a long time. Not only is the Lord our shepherd, he's a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. Even Luther reflected on this psalm and he wrote these words, which is a bit interesting. This psalm is a prophecy concerning Christ, Luther writes. It calls upon all to rejoice, to triumph, and to give thanks, to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts and sanctuary with praise, because by the gospel and the preaching of the remission of sins, the kingdom of Christ is established and strengthened, which will remain and stand forever. fourthly, God is the blessed one. We are his blessed ones. Now you got to watch the English language there. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquity, who heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. We too often think of God's blessings as things. We may also say God has blessed me with family or friends or good health, and these are all good. But the ultimate blessing we can receive is the forgiveness of our sins through the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Christ into our hearts through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. It is then that God pours out the most powerful of his blessings: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. Against these things there is no law. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Those are the blessings God gives his people. Folks, let's stop seeking the things God can give and seek God himself. And with his presence comes those blessings. And only because he is God, and understanding our greatest blessing that we can receive compels us to worship. And lastly, God is love. We are his loved ones. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. John writes in his first epistle, his letter, 1 John, see what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. You see, his love will never fail because it is who he is. He's love. He is love. Verse 5 of the King James Version reads just a bit different. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Lamentations 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And if we go back to this short chapter, there's one verse that would stand out to me to open the door. Maybe it's the key, the catalyst of the chapter. Know that the Lord, he is God. To know him is to love him. To love him is to serve him. To love and serve him will show itself in praise, worship, adoration, and we will be compelled to burst forth in song because he alone is worthy and he himself is the song. Do you know Jesus Christ this morning? Do you know him? Not in an abstract intellectual way, but do you know him personally? Are you in fellowship with him? Have you found your hope and your rest in him and him alone? Are you counting on him to complete the work he has begun in you and bring you someday into his glorious presence. Life and death hang in the balance. I'm inviting you to consider the altar this morning, because it is there that we bring our sacrifice of praise. We bring it to the altar. So we can have a worship service at the altar this morning and let the song of God ring true in all of our hearts. Folks, this church exists for one reason: to know Christ and to make him known. That's it. Well, that's two reasons. Excuse me. But to know God and to make him known. And the best way to do that, the greatest way of doing that, is living out our faith. Living out our faith. And if we join with the world in fretting and stewing and worrying and God help us, complaining, then we're not living out our faith. We're not living out our faith. Do I have my concerns? Yeah, I have my concerns. But do I have a hope that's greater than all that? You betcha. You betcha. And I don't know, this may come as a surprise to some, but this isn't the first time God has seen trouble. And he has always been there for his people. Always. Because he will never leave us or forsake us. I can't think of a better time in history to be alive and be a part of the family of God than right now. Right now. But I do invite you all to consider the prayers that need to be offered. And I'm going to change the order just a moment. I would like you to pray for the church and the people of God first, then the nation. Then the nation. Okay? Because if the people of God don't get it right, let's don't worry about the rest. Am I wrong? People of God got to get it right. And that means unity. That means unity of one purpose, one mind, one Lord, one baptism, one hope. So by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray that it happens in this place this morning. Father, we thank you for the time that we've had. We pray that it has been pleasing to you, that our fellowship has been sweet, that we have rightly handled and divided the Word of God, and that through this process of looking at your Word, examining your Word, learning your Word, we'll be drawn closer to you and be formed and transformed a bit more into the likeness of your Son. And Father, if there be one here this morning that is without Christ, that means they are without hope. And I pray that they would find someone to talk to that can lead them to that place of security, that can bring them into the very presence of God and establish through the blood of Jesus that sweet adopted relationship. Pray all of this not only in the name, the mighty and precious name of Jesus, but for his glory. Amen. Let's stand as we sing our song. But as I said, the call may be beyond just the altar call of repentance and confession, although that's number one priority. But folks, we need to fill the altars of this church. We need to fill the altars every Sunday. You need to fill the altar at home. I hope you have an altar at home you can go to. Amen? We need to fill those places and lift our prayers to a holy and righteous God. Because I hope you understand how desperately we need him.